Okay, today's daf is Zvachim daf Lamed Hey. We left off yesterday at the two dots on daf Lamed Dalet Amid Bey. So we pointed out that what we're about to discuss is why the Mishnah gives three cases that are all very strikingly similar. The Mishnah had said that if one of the psulim who are allowed a shecht, but are not allowed to do any of the other avodas, does the Kabbalah chutzos man chutzos mekomo. So we said that if there's dama nefesh, you go back and you have a kosher dude. But then the Mishnah said, let's say kosher was mekabel, and then he gave it to a apostle. He gave the dam to a apostle, so no problem, just give it back to a kosher. If a kosher was mekabel in his right hand, like he's supposed to, and then he put it in his left hand, no problem, just put it back in your right hand. If he was mekabel with a kli shoreis, with a kli kodesh, which he's supposed to, and then he put it into a kli chol, which is no good, no problem, just put it back into a kli kodesh. Now, all of those halachos are basically saying the same thing, that if initially it started out okay, and then you messed it up, then you put it somewhere, or you put the dam in a situation where it shouldn't be, so that then it's no problem, we just put it back to where it should be, and everything's going to be okay. Why do we need all three of those cases, of giving it to the pasul, of putting it in the left hand, and of putting it in a kli chol? So says Gemara Tzricha, we need all three cases. Diash mina pasul, hava mina my pasul, tamei, dechazi la'avodas tzibur. I would say that a pasul is a reference to someone who's tamei, who's at least roi to do who's roi for avodas tzibur, meaning tumah sutra b'tzibur. Rashi says, dechazi la'avodas tzibur, gon tamei, dechazi. So even though this isn't about a tzibur, this is about a yachid, so at the very least we're going to allow it to fix itself by just returning it back to the person who's not tameh, back to the kasher. Aval small low, but I would say with the left hand, where we never have any heterim for the left hand, I would think once it's put in the left hand, that's it, you've ruined it. Viashmin and small, and had it told me about putting it in the left hand that you're able to fix it by putting it back in the right hand, the left hand at least on Yom Kippur is kosher. The Rashi points out that in Yom Kippurim the Kohen Gadol takes the machta in his right hand and the kaf in his left hand, so he actually uses his left hand for part of the avoda. So at least the left hand isn't something that's completely mufka from being used for the avoda. It is used in the avoda somewhat, so therefore I would think it's not such a terrible psul that it's unfixable. At least even when you're not supposed to use the left hand, at the very least if you put it back in the right hand it would be okay. But kli chol, where there is no such heter ever to use kli chol, I would think it's no good. V'yashmin kli chol mishum dechazu l'kdushinu aval hanach emelo, and had it told me about a kli chol, I would say at least a kli chol, if you wanted, you could be makdish a kli chol, so you could change it, you could turn it into a kli kodesh, so that item itself can become the correct item, whereas the small and the puzzle, it can't. You can't be makdish it. So tzricha. That's why I need all three of the cases. Now the Rambam writes in Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, he writes kvar biyarnu shahalacha b'small poselas b'dama kachim. He says really, if you carry the blood in your right hand, it's going to puzzle. U'b'shar avodas, and any avodah done with the left hand is puzzle. And the Rambam says l'ficha chayim in adin shayol. And really, therefore, the machta should have been in the left hand, and the kafaktoris, which is really what the avodah is about, is the ketores, is the burning of the ketores. That really should have been done in the right hand. Now, what's the machta? The machta is a shovel full of coals. That's what you're going to burn the ketores on. But he says, since it's so heavy, it's so hot, it would be very difficult for the Kohen to carry it with his left hand all the way until the Aron. Therefore, we have him take the machta in his right hand and the kafaktoris in his left hand, simply a practical issue. Even though the avod is normally possible with small and you're not allowed to carry the ketores in your left hand, we have no choice over here. The machta is just too heavy to carry in the left hand, so we have to have the Kohen carry it in the right hand, which leaves the left hand for the ketores itself. Frak the kes of Mishnah. Wait a second. If halacha b'smol is pasul, why do I care that it's heavy? Let the Kohen go to the gym, let him work out, and he'll work on his left hand. That doesn't seem like a sufficient reason to just say, okay, we'll compromise the halacha. So the kes of Mishnah says it's possible she'ein halacha b'smol psula el midrabanan. He says it could be that the psul of halacha b'smol is only psul mid-rabbanan. So these are good enough reasons for the rabbanan to say, okay, we're not going to be gozer in this kind of case, that there's going to be a problem of the left hand. Ketzer Mishnah also says, he says, me'ach shein efsharus l'holich es k'toras ima machta elich sha k'toras b'smol, says if the only way to carry both of them together is if the k'toras is in your left hand, so clearly the Torah wants you to, the Torah itself is hinting to you that using your left hand for this k'toras is okay. If 99% of people cannot possibly carry the machta and the k'toras at the same time, unless they're holding the k'toras in the left hand, and the Torah wants you to carry the machta and the k'toras at the same time, so it must be that the Torah is telling you that for this avoda, k'toras b'smol is okay. So in Bir Yadav, he quotes over here from the Sefer Chibas HaKodesh, who says that our sugya l'chora is against the first answer of the Ketzer Mishnah. Ketzer Mishnah says that the psul of smol is only a psul mid-rabbanan. He says, if the psul of smol was only drabbanan, instead of the Gemara coming up with the svara to be makel b'smol, because it's huksha l'avodas Yom HaKippurim, because after all, smol could be used for Yom HaKippurim, so that's why I might think that dafka by smol that we're going to allow you to put it back in the right hand and it will be okay, but the other issues like a pasul or a klei chol are going to remain bad once there's no fixing it. So instead of saying, oh, you know why smol I would think is more we're more makel with it because Yom HaKippurim, what the Gemara should have said is, I would have a havamina that we're more makel with smol because it's only midrabanan. So it must be our Gemara seems to be against Ketzer Mishnah, because there's no doubt that klei chol are d'oraisa, no doubt that pasul is a d'oraisa problem. So if smol were only a d'rabanan problem, that would be the chiluk that we draw between smol and everything else. But it's not the chiluk, so it must be that smol is really d'oraisa. So our Gemara seems to be against that Ketzer Mishnah. That's the ha'ara of the Sefer Chibas HaKodesh. Okay, says the Gemara, v'lahavilei dichui, but wait a second, don't we have a concept of dichui? That once something becomes ineligible for the mitzvah, it remains ineligible? So in all three of these cases, it went through a period where it was ineligible, where it was in a bad spot, so shouldn't it be nidcha legamri? Shouldn't it be completely rejected from the possibility of the mitzvah? So I'm going to reveal in Ravashi, hachi amar v'yamrim imdifti mishmei derava, hamani chanana mitzri hu, delesle dichui, and we're assuming that chanana mitzri who doesn't hold of dichui. Where do we find Chanan HaMitzri doesn't hold of Dichoy? Detanyu Eva Braisa. Chanan HaMitzri Omer, Afilu Dam Bekos Mevi Chaveru Mezaviglo. Even if you have Dam in the cup, you bring its partner and you partner it together with it. Now, what's this talking about? So Rashi fills us in over here. We're talking about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, where you need a Seir LaHashem and Seir LaHazazel. You need two twin karbanos. So Afilu Dam Seir Anasa Bifnim, even if the blood of the Seir LaHashem is because you've already shechted the animal, you already have the blood in the kos, and then at that point, Mesa Mishtaleach, the other Seir dies, Lo Nidcha Hadam, that dam is not rejected. We don't say that dam has become possible because the partner has died, the other carbon has died. El mevi si'ir acher, you just bring another si'ir la'azazel, umezaveg la'hadam, and you're mezaveg that new si'ir la'azazel with the dam. You don't have to reject this dam and do the whole process again with two new si'irim, a new si'ir la'ashem, a new si'ir la'azazel. No, your si'ir la'ashem was done already. You got that. You got the dam in the coast. It's fine. You just have to come up with a new si'ir la'azazel. The kasher adam l'manosav, v'zei yishtalach. The dam is still kosher to do all the matnos dam that you need to do with this seir, and the rest and the other seir that you bring in now will be mishtalach. Now, why afilu? What's the lashon of afilu? So Rashi explains that in fact there are three shitas over there, and we're just quoting the shita of Chanan HaMitzri because we're trying to come up with the shita that doesn't hold of dichui. But to get the broader context, Rashi points out there are in fact three opinions about what the halacha is when the seir mishtalach dies. He says, Lashon afilu denakan mishum deshlosha machlokos bedavar. There are three shitos. Number one, there is one shita that even while the animal is still alive, it could still be nidche, it could still be disqualified. There is one shita that holds, even before you shechted the Seir LaHashem, if the Seir LaHazazel dies at that point, Seir LaHashem is rejected. rejected. It can't be used anymore. You need to start again with two brand new goats to have a new agrala, do the whole process over again. Vanisha yidcha, and the one remaining, the original seal Hashem, is nidcha. That's the opinion of nidcha to the highest degree, that even balei chayim are nidchim. Then there's a second sheet of ikal mandiyamar, maybe chavero shaloba agrala, the balei chayim ain't nidchim. Look, if the second seer died, well, the first seer was not yet shechted, was still alive, so a bal chay is not going to be nidcha. That first seer is still kosher. You just need to partner it with a new seer. Vagrala lama akva. And the fact that you're not going to be able to do a hagrala because the second seer is obviously, the new seer you're going to bring is obviously going to be to replace the dead one, and the old one is still here, so you're not going to be able to do a hagrala. It's no big deal. It's not ma'akev. Avodam because, but the second shita says, look, but once the animal's dead already, you already have the blood in a cup, then you shafech adam deshchut nidchin ve'in chazun v'nirin. Then you would spill out the dam, because once it's shechted, then it can actually be nidcha and never used again. So then you would have to bring two new animals. But then, v'asa chanan amitri lemeimar, afilu dam because, that's the lashon of afilu. Chanan amitri says, not only do I not hold of dichui, when it comes to balei chayim, even if it's dam because the animal is really is dead already, and you already have the blood in the kos, still I don't hold of dichui. So why do we say in our Gemara that there is, in our Mishnah rather, that when you put it in a kleichal, or in the left hand, or you give it to a apostle, that it's not nidche? So the Gemara says, because we must be assuming like Chanan HaMitzri. And Chanan HaMitzri holds that there is no concept of dichui. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, kol shebiyado lo avi dichui. No, we don't have to be assuming like Chanan HaMitzri, but maybe even those who generally do hold of dichui, whenever a person is in control themselves, whenever it's in your control to fix it, that's not called dichui. And in all of our cases, it's very easy to fix. You gave it to the puzzle, take it back. You put it in the kli chol, put it back in the kli shares. Put it in your left hand, switch it back to your right hand. Whenever it's easy to fix, it's not a problem of dichui. Frek Tosfos, oh yeah, what about all the places in Shas where we have sugyas of dichui, of yesh dichui etzel mitzvos, or ein dichui etzel mitzvos, and all of those cases are all cases that are fixable. For example, the number one sugya we probably think of when we think of dichui is sukkah taf lamed gimel amed aleph. It starts on beis on beis, but lamed gimel amed aleph, where the Gemara discusses a hadas sha'an nav of merubim me'olav. You have a hadas that has more berries than it does leaves. Now, we're not used to hadasim with berries, but it happens all the time. We don't get them in the packages, because they don't package those, but a hadasim that has more berries than leaves, it's possible, right? So the Gemara discusses, what if you pull off the berries? Now, does it become kosher again? Do we say that once it's nidche from being used as the mitzvah, it can no longer be used as a mitzvah, you can fix it? So that's a whole sugi of dichui. But wait a second, what do you mean it's also give dichui? I thought in our Gemara we're saying that there's no dichui if it's easy to fix. Isn't that easy to fix? If it's biyado to fix, isn't that a situation where it's biyado to fix? The Tos says, anav merumeo of the sukkah, ain't a biyado. He says, no, it's not really biyado, kivin din matan biyom tov. Whereas you have the physical ability to fix it, the halachic ability to fix it, you don't have. Because you're not allowed to be memayit on yantif, you're not allowed to take away all those berries on yantif. So halachically, it's not permissible for you to fix it. Also, gabi kisoy adam. The Gemara discusses dichoy in regards to kisoy adam, where you shechted a chay or oaf that requires kisoy adam, and then let's say the wind blew dirt on top of the blood. So do we assume that that blood is now nidche from the possibility of the mitzvah's kisui? Because if then the wind blew again and the dirt gets uncovered from the blood, do you have a mitzvah of kisui adam? So he says, v'gabi kisui adam dekar le dichui kishe kisau haruach v'neskala, we call that dichui when the wind covered it and then uncovered it. So we say that's not called biyado, because so long as the wind blew the dirt on the blood and it's still covering the blood, you have no requirement to uncover the blood. If the blood goes and becomes uncovered, so then we have our sugya of dichui. But there's no requirement to go and uncover the blood. As opposed to in our case, it's called biyado, because not only do you have the ability to do it, you have the requirement, you have the obligation to do it. And that's why it's not considered to be an issue of dichui in our Gemara. That's why it's considered to be biyado. The Keren Ora has a different geder of what biyado l'sakid means, in a way that all of these kashas of Tosfos are not going to be a problem at all. Right, Tosfos also discusses a third problem, a case of a person who's mafresh a carbon when he's kasher, and then he becomes a mumar, right? That's also a discussion of dichoy. Isn't that also biyado, Tosos asks? So Tosos says, no, it's not really biyado, because maybe he doesn't have the das to do tshuva, and if you don't have the right mindset, you're not going to do tshuva. It's not really called biyado. It's only biyado once you really have, that's an interesting ha'ara. What does that mean? That it's only biyado to do tshuva if you have the right mindset. It's only biyado to get out of bed in the morning if I have the right mindset. It's only biyado to do anything if I want to do it. So what does that mean? It's only biyado to do tshuva if you have the right mindset. What it likely means is that by natural means, a person doesn't have the ability to do tshuva. This is a concept of tshuva. That tshuva is totally supernatural. Tshuva is not normal. It's not something that makes any sense. If I did something wrong, there are consequences to your actions. Where mehechidesi, I could erase everything that was done in the past. So tshuva is only something that you could do with the help, with the aid of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when I do tshuva, it's not me doing it. It's me making the first step and the Ribbono Shel Olam doing it. So that's what it means, that it's not biyado, because if I don't have the right mindset, I can't do it on my own. It's not something that I could ever do on my own anyway. But anyway, the Keren Ora has a different explanation which would solve all of Tosfos's problems. He says that biyado l'sakein means that yesh biyado l'hachzir samatzav l'kadmuso l'mafreya. You have the ability to return the situation to what it was retroactively without any zman shel psul b'natayim, without any zman of psul in the intervening period of time. It says in that's only shaykh in the cases of the Mishnah. Nishpach Adam, where there's no zman, where it's pasul, where there's psul, where there's shame psul al adam in the interim, it's just that you have to go and continue with the avoda. So the way to go and continue with the avoda was just put it back where it belongs, as opposed to the mesa mishtaleach and all the cases that Tosfos brings, there is a shame psul in the interim. The hadas is pasul. The mumar is a mumar. It's just that you have the ability to fix it mikanu lahaba, but it's not going to take away that intervening period where there was a shem psul. In the cases of our Mishnah, we mean when we say biyado l'sakein is that you can take away any problem of any intervening period because nothing happened yet. You just put it into a kli chol, but you haven't done any of the avoda with it yet, so nothing became pasul. The dam never became pasul. There was no shem psul at all. It's only if you do avoda with it that it's going to be a problem. So that's what it means biyado l'sakein according to the Keren Ora. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayter, Kavasid Ravashi Mistav. Ravashi seems to be correct that anything that's biyado is not going to be called dichoy. Man shamadei disle dichoyim, because who's the one that holds of dichoy in general? Rabbi Yehuda, it's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Tetnan v'odam Rabbi Yehuda nishpach adam yomus ha-mishtaleach, that if the dam spills out, then the mishtaleach is gonna die. Mesa mishtaleach yishpach adam. Or if the mishtaleach dies, then you have to spill out the dam. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds of dichoy. V'shamin lidamar kol shabiyado lavi dichoy. And yet we see that the same Rabbi Yehuda holds that whenever it's biyado, it's not going to be called dichoy. Titanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer, kos echorei memali midamat harovas. Let's say on Erev Pesach, when they bring the Korban Pesach, let's say the dam spills out onto the floor, and you didn't do the zrika yet, so what do you do now? It's all over the floor, and there's dam of thousands of karbanos all over the floor. So what do I do? So you can take a kos, fill it up from the damat haroves, from all the mixed blood on the floor, and vizarko, and you could be zorik zrika achas kenegad yisod. You could be zorik, and that's going to be fine. Shmamina kol shabiyat ala vidichoy. Shmamina. So you see, even though it was on the floor, and l'chore, that would make it dichoy, now since it's biyado, it's not called dichoy. Rashi implies that the dichoy is the fact that the dam is mixed with other blood. Problem with that is that the etzem et harovas can't be what's called the dichoy, because when you then refill the cup with the dam, it's still dam et harovas. You haven't fixed that problem. So in the Sefer Tosefes Kedusha, again quoted here in the Birei Adav, says it has to be that the dichoy is that it's nishbach al ritzba, that it's spilled on the floor, and it's biyado l'sakein because you could pick it up off the floor by taking a cup full of the dam et harovas. Fine, shemamina. So that's how you see that even the one who holds of dichoy holds that whenever it's biyado l'sakein, it's not going to be a problem of dichoy. Gufa. So we mentioned previously. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kos Echad Hayimimali Midamat Haroves Shem Yishafech Echad Hayim Nipsa Shumach Shiro, that you would fill up a kos from the Damat Haroves just in case anything spilled out. This is going to be Machshir. Amalal Rabbi Yehuda Valolam Skabel B'Kli. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you mean? How is that going to help? How is it going to be kosher if blood spills straight from the neck of the animal onto the floor? How is it going to help to now pick it up in a kli? Don't you need initially the blood to go from the neck of the animal into a kli? So if it went into a kli and then it spilled, so then in a chinami you could pick it up from the floor and be zorek. But how do you know that the dam on the floor not how do you know? But isn't Rabbi Yehuda telling me that if the dam falls straight from the animal onto the floor, don't worry, you could just take a cup from the floor. Isn't that too late already? So minayadi. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you mean? Where, how do you know that it didn't go into a kli first? How do you know that blood did spill straight from the animal to the floor? Maybe with all this blood on the floor, it all was mekubal b'kli first, and then it all was mekubal b'kli first, and then it had spilled. Ela shemelon eskabel b'kli. No, what they're asking Rabbi Yehuda is, yeah, but you don't know that either. Meaning, maybe there was some dam from some carbon that was not eskabel b'kli. So Amar Lahan, afani lo amarti ela kishen eskabel b'kli. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I'm only talking about a case where the blood was mekubal b'kli and then it fell on the floor. That's where you're allowed to take from the dam atarovis and do the zrika. But how do you know that? How does Rabbi Yehuda know that it was niskabel b'kli? Meaning, he's saying, oh, I'm only saying in such a case where it was niskabel b'kli. How is he going to keep track of thousands of korbanos to know that every single one of them was niskabel b'kli, that the blood was niskabel b'kli? So he says, of course we know. Kohanim's reason. Avavdin heyo mishtabchin. Kohanim are very zariz. How does the blood ever spill then? Maybe they're so zaris that they're moving quickly that they then spill it after they catch it. But they're zaris enough that they're not going to let it spill straight from the neck of the animal onto the floor. They're first going to catch up a kli. So all the blood that's on the floor, you can bet, was first in a kli. Follow Dama Tamtis move about all the blood on the floor was first caught in the kli. Not all of it. There must be Dama Tamtis in there. Not all of it is the Dama Nefesh. There must be some extra blood that spilled out of the animal's neck that doesn't require Kabbalah B'kli that's on the floor. So when you pick up the Tarovis of Dam, aren't you mixing in Dama Tamtis also? Tosum Sachem explains, the Kasha is not just that it's a Tarovis of Dam. Kasha is, and might it be true that Dama Tamtis is the rove, and therefore it's Mevatel, the dam that requires Rika, and therefore it's going to be a problem? So Rabbi Yehuda L'tamei, Dama Tamtis Kari Dam, Rabbi Yehuda's L'shitaso, who holds Dama Tamtis is not considered something separate from the dam. It's not considered something that's a different entity. It's also called dam, and therefore Tani Dama Tamtis Basara, Rabbi Domer Bukaris. That's why the Tanakam holds Dama Tamtis. If you eat Dama Tamtis, it's only Basara. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Yechayiv Karis, it's regular dam, it's like eating dam and nefesh. I've Amr Ablazer, Modar Budalin Kapara Sheinu Mechaper. But doesn't Rabbi Yehuda admit that dam atamsis doesn't serve as a kapara? Shinemar dam shen nefesh yotzubo, kari dam shen nefesh yotzubo, ain kari dam. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the dam that is dam atamsis, that just drips out later, is not called dam in regards to affecting kapara, to doing the Kabbalah and the Zrika and everything else. So Rabbi Yehuda admits it's not really dam. El Rabbi Yehuda tamei damar ain dam. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be dam in regards to kapara. The point is not that the dam atamtis is also good for kapara. No, the point is that since dam atamtis is called dam, it's min bimino. It's the tarovis of min bimino. So in a chinami, you might have, if you take a cup and scoop it off the floor, a bunch of dam off the floor, you might have more dam tamtis than you have dam anefesh. That doesn't mean the dam anefesh is batel. Rabbi Yehuda holds min bimino zeno batel. Whenever you have two like kinds that mix with each other, they're not mevatel each other. So the dam anefesh nefesh is still there, it's still considered to be present, and therefore when you go and you zorik it, it's going to be kosher. Now Chaznish wonders, why don't we ask from the dam azrika itself, why don't we assume that some of the dam that's on the floor is dam that was already nizrik on the mizbeach, which then has dripped off, because they were so sim the amma on Arve Pesachim, on Arve Pesach, when they would close off the drainage system in the Beis HaMikdash. So the dam that was nishpach al yisod normally would be yotzi Derech Amma. Over here, they closed up the Amma, and the Gemara in Yuma assumes that Dam Shenasa Mitzvaso has a din of Chulin. So, and for this, the Gemara's answer that Rabbi Yehuda's Dam Atamsis is Dam Alia is not going to help over here, because this Dam was ready Nasa Mitzvaso. It's for sure going to be considered Chulin. Why didn't the Gemara push that point a little bit? Why didn't the Gemara ask about that kind of Dam? So the Chazanish writes, you have to assume that the Gemara is assuming right now that they would make some sort of Geder in front of the dam and the yisod, they'd make some sort of fence to block the dam from the yisod from mixing with all the other dam. Otherwise, the Gemara should have asked this question. It's a sharp point that the Chazanish raises. Tosus asks, when we say ein dam mevatel dam, so Tosus asks, nevertheless, it's asur lizrug dam atamtis al mizbeach. So you want to tell me, okay, I scoop up a cup of blood from the floor, so don't worry, the dam and nefesh is still there. You haven't been mevatel the dam and nefesh, because dam can't be mevatel dam. Good, the Dama Nefesh is still there, but you know what else is still there? The Dama Tamtzis is also still there. And isn't there an Isser to be Zorik, the Dama Tamtzis? to be Zorek, the Dama Tamtis on the Mizbeach. It's also Lizrok. So Tosas answers that we're assuming, like Rabbi Lazar holds, that we're Rowan as Hevarim Apsulim, Kilu Hemetzim, that we view the, just like Rabbi Lazar would say, the Hevarim Apsulim, we view them as if they are wood, the Dama Tamtis, we view it as Mayim. We're able to say that we pretend that it's Mayim, that it's not considered Dam at all. It's not considered Apostle Dam, it's viewed as Mayim. Also Tosas answers, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Lazar, that's Machshir Dam Shenasarif Bel Dama Tamtis. Rabbi Lazar holds that Dam, that Dama Tamtis is mixed in with, is actually going to be kosher. Fine, says Gemara Vayter. Amalam Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda said to them, to the Chachamim, L'divrechem lama pokin ha'azara. According to what you're assuming, that you're not allowed to pick up the dam from the floor, well, why did they close up the drainage in the azara? If you're not allowed to pick up the dam from the floor, don't they want the blood to drain out? It must be the only reason, Rabbi Yehuda says, according to me, it makes a lot of sense. They need to close up the drain so you'll have available dam, so you can pick up from the dam at Harovis and do a zrika in case anything happens. But according to you, why would they even bother closing up the drainage in the Azara on Erev Pesach? Amr Lo, the Chum said, no, there's nothing to do with the Avodah that they did that. It was just Shevach Ulibnei Aaron, Shealcha Ad Arkuv Hussein Bedam. It was a way of showing the praise of the Bnei Aaron that they would walk around Erev Pesach knee deep in blood. And when they're walking around knee deep in blood, that shows, look how gevaldik it is that the Bnei Aaron are working so hard in Avodah Hashem. A little hard to relate to, right? Knee deep in blood we would think of as disgusting. But no, it's the greatest Shevach, that look how much Avodah they're doing. So as a way of emphasizing and giving a visual of the tremendous avoda and the tremendous busyness of the avoda, they would plug up the drainage system so that the Kohanim would be walking knee deep in blood. Sfasemis asks, why doesn't the Gemara say that it's Shevach Hulu Bnei Yisrael? Where did that blood come from? It was Karbanos of Bnei Yisrael that brought all that blood. So the Gemara could have said that it was Shevach Hulu Bnei Yisrael. Okay. Anyway, so says the Gemara Vayter, Vadam Avi Chatzitza. But nevertheless, the dam, shouldn't the dam be chatzitza? How are they allowed to walk in dam? Don't their feet need to touch the floor? So if there's dam in between, isn't that a chatzitza? So it's more lachu, v'lo avi chatzitza. Now, dam is moist, it's liquid, and anything that's liquid is not going to be considered a chatzitza. Titran, hadam, v'diyo, v'advash, v'achalav, yiveshin chotzin. All these things, all these liquids, if they're dried up, they're going to be a chatzitza. But lachin, if they're still moist, ein chotzin, they don't serve as chatzitza. V'akam mitvasim, so frak the Gemara, but wait a second, isn't the big day kuna going to get all ruined if they're walking knee deep in blood? And it's not just stam, it's like, that will be a badge of honor, like a baseball player with dirt on his uniform. No, if a Kohen has blood on his uniform, then it says avoda's possible, it's going to ruin the whole avoda. So, and if you're going to say, maybe they lift up their beged a little bit so that their beged is above the knees, so that it's only their skin that's coming in contact with the dam. No, but the big tikkun have to be the exact right size. They have to go all the way down exactly to the bottom of his feet. It has to. So lifting it up is not good. So Gemara says, no, they're only walking knee deep in blood when they're carrying the evarim to the ramp, which is not an avoda, and therefore they're able to lift up their garments during that time, so they won't mess up the big tikkun, and they're able to walk knee deep in blood at that point in time. But the rest of the time, they're not walking knee deep in blood. So first the Gemara asks, wait a second, carrying the Evarim is not an avoda? The Pasuk says v'hikriv, and we assume that that's a reference to carrying the Evarim. So how can you say it's not an avoda? Elo, you're right. We're assuming that they were only walking knee deep in blood when they were carrying the wood to the maracha, and that's not an avoda. Frek the Gemara, wait a second. If all Azara is has knee-deep blood in it, how can you say that they're only going to walk knee-deep in blood when they're carrying the wood? And the rest of the time, what? They're going to walk on top of the blood? How are they going to manage that? They're going to fly? What are they going to do? So says Gemara, la'avoda hechi azli. How do they walk during the avoda if they can't be in blood? So says Gemara, azli ha'itztavi. They actually, they walked over the blood. They built platforms above knee level, and they walked on those platforms during the rest of the time, because they couldn't otherwise they'd be walking in the blood. And the platforms, Rashi says, it's Savos Gvoin Hayusham Binyan Avanim Ve'in L'chotzin D'min Aritzbehein, and those platforms were considered part of the floor. They themselves were not considered a chatzitza. In the Chuvas Halachos Katanos, he discusses a moel who has blood dried on his hands. If he doesn't Atilas Yadayim, and then he realizes that he has some dry blood on his hands, is it a chatzitza? So he says, no, it's not a chatzitza because it's chaviv alav, and he doesn't really want to take it off because it shows his mitzvah, the fact that he does mila. So the Shvus Yaakov asks, what do you mean? The Gemara over here says that the dam yavesh, that if you have dry blood, it's going to be chotzit for the kohanim, but isn't the whole idea of the blood, of keeping the blood in the azar in the first place, because shevach ulu b'nei Aaron, it's the chaviv samitzvah, and it shows. So what do you mean? Why should it be chatzitza? I thought, right, if the our Gemara implies that even if it is chaviv, still when it's dry, it's going to make a chatzitza. The Shvus Yaakov also asks based on this on the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Yerideus from Kuf Tzadiches Si'if Yud Zayin, the Rama writes that a shochet who has his hands dirtied with blood, it's not going to be chotzeit for Netil Sidayim either, because he's not makbid about it. L'chara, that's Soser our Gemara, because our Gemara assumes that anything that's that even though the blood in the Azara is clearly blood of mitzvah, and the Kohanim were very excited about it, once it's dried up, it is going to be chotzeit. So what's the chilek? So in the Bir Adaf, he quotes from the Sefer Minchas Yehuda, who's miyashiv, that you could be mechalik between Kohanim and the Moel, because by the Moel, he's not makbid on the dirtiness, even if you were to tell him that because his hands are dirty, he's not able to be notal yadayim, he would still say, okay, so I won't be notal yadayim. I'm excited just to have the blood on my hands just to show that I do the mitzvah. So he's not going to be makbid. As opposed to by the Kohanim, the reason they're not makbid is because it's a shevach that they're mekayim the mitzvah's kuhuna. If you were to tell them as a result of the blood that's on you, you can't do the avodah, well, then they don't want the blood anymore, right? Then they're not going to be excited about the blood anymore. It's the same inyan that would cause them the problem. That's why it's going to be chatzitza dafka for the Kohanim, but not when it comes to the situation of the Moel. Okay, new Mishnah. If a person shechts a carbon thinking that he's going to eat a part of the animal that's not normally eaten, chutzlis mano or chutzlis makomo, he's going to do it in the wrong, you know, chutzlis mano, chutzlis makomo, but he's thinking about a part of the animal that's not normally eaten, or he's going to burn a part of the animal that's not normally burnt, chutzlis mano, chutzlis makomo, that machshava is not going to passel, because he's having the machshava on a part of the animal that's not supposed to go through an achila or haktara. Rabbi Lazar posts, but Rabbi Lazar says, no, even that's going to passel. Lechol dover shadarko lechol lahaktir, dover shadarko lahaktir, pachos mikazayis, kosher. But if he has in mind that he's going to eat less than a kazayis of something that you are supposed to eat, and he has in mind that he's going to eat pachos mikazayis of a chutzlis mano or chutzlis mekomo, or to be maktir chutzlis mano or chutzlis mekomo, something less than a kazayis, so that's still going to be kosher, because less than a kazayis is insignificant. Lechol kachatzi zayis lahaktir kachatzi zayis. Let's say he has a machshav on a full zayis, but half of the zayis he wants to be ochel chutzlis mano, the other half he wants to be makdir chutzlis mano or chutzlis mekomo kosher she'ein achila v'aktar mitzarf, and that's going to be kosher because the chatzi zayis of achila of machshavas achila and the chatzi zayis of machshavas aktara are not going to be mitzarf with each other. Hashochet as a zevach lechol zayis mina or umina rotav umina kipo umina alal umina tzamos umina gidin umina karnayim umina tlafim. If a person shechts the carbon to eat a kazayis of the animal's hide or a kazayis of the juices of the animal, or kazayis of the kippah, which is the stuff stuck on the side of the pot after you cook the animal, umina olal, which Rash says is a gira on the neck, a certain sinew on the neck, or from the bones, or from any of the sinews, or from the horns, or from the hooves of the animal, if you think about eating any of those things, chutzlis mano v'chutzlis mekomo, kosher. That's going to be kosher. Vein chayav nalei mishum pigul v'nosar v'tamei. And not only that, if the animal became pigul, and then you eat those parts of that animal, you're not going to be chayav for eating pigul, because the shame pigul is not chal on those parts of the animal that are not edible. So not only does machshava on those parts not make the animal pigul, if the animal was already pigul, it's not going to affect those parts of the animal. Hashochet as a mukdashin lechol shlil if you shech the carbon having in mind that you're going to eat the fetus or the the English word, but the placenta, right? Bachutz. So then, it's not going to be pigul. Hamolik es hatorin lechol beitzein bachutz lo pigul. If you do malika on a bird, malika is it's like shechita except it's with the fingernail in the back of the neck of the animal. So if you do the malika on the bird to eat the beitzim of the bird, the eggs of the bird, bachutz, that's not going to be pigul. Cholav mukdashin ubeitzei torin ein chayavin alein mishum pigul v'nosav v'tamei. And not only only that, the milk of kadosh animals and the eggs of birds, if the animal became pigel, eating those things is not also going to be pigel, nor going to be subject to nosar, nor going to be subject to tame. Those halachos won't apply to those parts of the animal, even if the animal became pigel by having machshavos chutzos man on the basar of the animal. It's not going to affect the chalav and the beitzim. Fine. Amar Rabbi Lazar, pigel bezevach nespagel ashalil. Rabbi Lazar has the following unique shita. He says if you're mefagel the animal, the shalil of the animal can become pigel as well. But b'shalil nespagel azevach. But if you have a machshav chutz l'zman on the shalil, it's not going to be mefagel the entire carbon. So basically, Rabbi Lazar holds it's a one-way street, not a two-way street. Our mission assumed it's a two-way street, that whatever parts of the animal when you have machshavos about them will not make the rest of the animal pigel. Well, then when the rest of the animal becomes pigle, those same parts will also not become pigle, because they're not considered in the parsha of pigle. Rabbi Lazar, however, says, no, it's a one-way street. If you're mefagel in the zevach, so the entire animal becomes pigle, even the shalil of the animal. If you're mefagel in the shalil, it's lo nespagel zevach. Pigel ba'alal nespagel mora'a. B'mora'a, lo nespagel alal. Right, and the same with the alal and the mora'a of the animal, that it's a one-way street. Pigel ba'emurin nespagel parim. B'parim lo nespagel emurim. If you have a machshavas pigel on the emurim, then it's going to be mefagel. We're talking about parim and esrafim, where the basar is not supposed to get eaten. So if you're mefagel the emurim, so then which are your makdir, so then that's how you're mefagel the emurim. Then it's going to be nespagel the whole par, but peparim, then you're not going to be nespagel the emurim. If you have a machshava to a chef to eat the basar of those parim chutzos mano, so it's not going to be nespagel the emurim to be chayav kares on that. So says Gemara Leimim Masayele. Now let's try to bring a raya to Rabbi Lazar, who holds that it's a one way street. V'shavim shemchishev v'achilas parim u'b'srei fasan loss of lo klum. Everyone agrees that if you have a machshava to eat the parim or the burning of the parim, so that's totally ineffective. Basically, what this is talking about is in Perek Beis Shammai, there's going to be machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chacham, where the Rabbanan hold that pigul is knowing even on parim and esrafim, even on those parim that have the unique avoda of being nisraf, and Rabbi Shimon holds that anything that's not brought in the mizbeach achitzon is not subject to pigul. But everyone agrees that if during one of the avodas adam you have a machshava to eat the parim chutz l'zmano, or to burn them in the Beis HaDeshen Kilchasel, but Chutz L'zmano, then Lo Asuklum. That Machsheves Achila does not help, because it's not a Dover Shadar Kolechel, and Machsheves Sreifa is not going to help, because it's not, Sreifa and Akhtara are two different things. To burn in the Beis HaDeshen is not the same as being Makhtar in the Mizbeach. So that's for sure not called a Machsheves Pigel. Even those who hold that the Parim and Srafim are subject to pigle, meaning the sheet of the Chachamim, would agree that machshavos of the parts of the animal that are never going to get eaten, that aren't supposed to get eaten, or machshava on the parts that are supposed to be burnt in the Beis HaDeshen, and that aren't supposed to be makter on the Mizbeach, so that's not going to be mefagel. That's loss of lo klum. My love, hachisha be'emurim nispaglu parim, but doesn't that imply that if you have machshava about the emurim, about burning the emurim, that then the parim are going to be nispagel, that it's going to be a one-way street the other way? Says Gemara, lo, hachisha be'emurim nispaglu emurim atzman. No, all it means to imply is that if you have machshav about the emurim chutzos manam, that the emurim themselves become pigle, but not that the whole rest of the animal becomes pigle. Fine, tashma, another raya. Parim and esrafim, asirim and esrafim, malim ben mishu huktashu. Parim and esrafim, asirim and esrafim, you commit me'ilah from the moment they become kodesh. Nishchatu, huchshu lipasl betful yom, mechusra kipurim belina. Once they become shechted, so now they can become pasl by tful yom, mechusra kipurim, and by lina. What does lina mean? Lina means leaving it over. My love, lina's bas. So doesn't that mean, even though these animals are supposed to be nisraf, the meat is not supposed to get eaten, still linas basar is going to ruin it? And if actually leaving it over is going to passel it, so machsheves lina is also going to passel it, that the machsheva of chutzuzmano should also passel it? So you see that even on parma nisrafim, the machsheva chutzuzmano of the meat, which is supposed to get burnt, is never supposed to get eaten, is still going to ruin the animal. Says, we're not talking about the basar. talking about the Emurim, which everyone agrees. Hamid Iktani Seifa, but wait a second, can you say it's talking about the Emurim? The Seifa says, Kulan Malim Ben Al Beis Hadashen Achi Tavach Abasar. It still remains in the Parsha of Mi'ila, something that you could commit Mi'ila on until the Basar is completely incinerated. Mechal de Reisha Linas Basar, but that implies that we're talking about the Basar in the Seifa. Sounds like in the Reisha we're also talking about the Basar, not the Emurim. Midir Yahakadisa Vakadisa Reisha Emurim Seifa Basar. No, that's not a problem. Maybe the Reisha was talking about the Emurim, Seifa was talking about the Basar. It doesn't have to be completely consistent. Most of Rabbah, Ve'elu She'en Mefaglin Ve'en Mispaglin, the following things cannot make pigle nor become pigle. Semer Shabrashe Kvasim. The wool on a sheep's head, the beard of a goat, va'or va'rot va'kipa va'alava moravat samos va'gidin va'karnayim va'talpayim va'shal va'shiliyah v'chalva mukdashon beitzaytoren, and all the parts of the animal that aren't normally eaten that we mentioned on Amud Aleph that aren't really considered part of the animal proper in terms of pigle. Cool on all those parts, lo mefaglin v'lo mispaglin. They don't make the animal pigle, nor do they become pigle. Vein chayavin aleim mishum pigle noser v'tameh. And you're not chayiv on them for pigle noser and tameh. Now the Gemara is going to deal with why you need to say that you're not chayiv on it mishum pigle if we just said ein mefaglin v'ein mispaglin. Obviously not chayiv on it mishum pigle. We'll get to that. V'amal mehen b'chutz. Pater. If someone brings part of this animal b'chutz outside of the Beis HaMikdash, he's pater. My love, meaning this part of the animal. My love, lo mefaglin azevach, lo mispaglin machmas azevach. So what did it mean? Lo mefaglin v'lo mispaglin. Doesn't that mean that it's not mefagel the rest of the animal, nor does it become piggle on account of the rest of the animal? That's what lo mefaglin v'lo mispaglin means. That if you're mechashev to eat from the basar of zevach or to be makter the emurin chutz l'zmano, that it's not going to be in the spagel to be chayiv kares on it. And that's a tiyuftan Rabbi Lazar who said because it says the shlil and the mora are included over here. So it says lo mefaglin zevach v'lo mispaglin machmas atzman. No, lo mefaglin means it's not mefagel the zevach. Lo mispaglin means that it's not mispagel machmas itself, but if the zevach itself becomes pigle, then enochinami, these parts become pigle as well. Exactly like Rabbi Eliezer holds. Not that these parts could never become pigle. Why then does it have to repeat in the Seifa that all these things are lomifaglin v'lomispaglin? Doesn't that imply that it could never become pigle, even when the rest of the animal becomes pigle? These parts are ineligible to become pigle against Rabbi Lazar? So Rabbi Lazar would respond, why, you think the Bryce is not repetitive as it is? Once it already tells me lomifaglin v'lomispaglin, why does it then have to say, ein chayavin alei mishum pigle? It mentions it agavorcha. Once it's mentioning noser and tameh, it mentions pigle as well. So achanami, for your diuk as well. Once it mentions the case of being malu b'chutz, so it also mentions lo mefaglin v'lo mispaglin. But no diuk amar to be made. Rava amar afananami tanina. Rava says we have a brace that supports this. That supports Rav Lazar. Shocheres amuktashim lech shlil oshilya b'chutz lo pigel. If a person shechts the muktashim to eat the fetus of the placenta b'chutz, it doesn't make the animal pigle, does not make the carbon pigle. V'amolika satorim lechel b'tzeim b'chutz lo pigel. If you molik a bird in order to eat the eggs of that bird b'chutz, also does not make a pigle. V'hadatani chelev hamuktashim u'beitzei turim ein chayiv aleihem mishum pigle noser v'tamei. Sounds like Hashalu v'shilya chayavim. Then it says that the eggs and the milk, it's not going to be pigul nosar v'tameh. But the shalu and the shilya, you are going to be chayav. It is going to be a problem of pigul. So elav shmamina kan machmas zevach kan machmas atzman shmamina. So you see that if the animal itself became pigul through the basar, having a machshav on the basar, the animal became pigul. Yeah, then it's going to affect the shalu and the shilya. Then it's going to affect the placenta and the fetus. But to have a machshava only on the placenta and the fetus is not going to affect the rest of the animal. So that's a riot to Reb Lazar. Okay, Mr. Shum, we'll pick up from the two dots tomorrow.